Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome to another PC Gaming.
I knew you were going to do that.
I like that one. Let's roll with it.
All right.
Okay. So here we are back again for another episode.
101, technically, right?
Technically, yes. Yeah, I know we'd all rather be watching the Heroes of the Storm tournament right now, especially the Cloud9 playing with a murky pick, but we are recording this episode.
Yeah, be thankful, listeners, because we stopped watching the Heroes of the Storm to do this podcast.
Well, you know, they had that huge delay.
That's true. It was supposed to have been done.
Yeah, it would have been done, and then, there wasn't going to be any. We timed it out perfectly, but they fucked up.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that later when we talk all about BlizzCon, which is going on this weekend. Last weekend by the time you listen to this. Yeah. But first, we got some updates regarding the contests we've been doing. We've been giving away 100 Steam dollars for
100 for 100.
Yeah. So, X-Flack Picker won today on the stream, and he's already won, way back when. I think it was a review giveaway. So, some of our members, there's been more than one that has won more than once. So, just stick with us and join the contest. Inevitably, you're probably going to win something.
Yeah.
So,
did we give 100?
No, not yet. So, that happened. That was 20 right there. I did 20 the day before, and I did 20 the day before. And then today I'm doing one on Twitter and one on review giveaway. But what we're going to do is we're going to find out who wins that, and then it'll be announced on Tuesday when this releases. We're just going to add it on at the very end or at the very beginning because we don't know yet, and we just started the contest. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That was a lot of complicated stuff right there for that.
Cool. So we're going to do Question the News, which is becoming one of our favorite little segments here, where we take a news article and we come up with a question or a comment on it and kind of do a little round table on what we think about it.
It's pretty much the only thing Chad's ever contributed to this podcast.
He
stole it from somewhere else.
I have so many segments that we do. All right, I'm going to go first because I'm first on the list. The Warcraft trailer was shown for the first time this weekend in BlizzCon. I was really excited. First of all, what'd you guys think of the trailer?
I liked it. I'm excited.
All right. Did it make you more excited to see the movie, Bobby?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Emilio?
I'm still neutral, I guess.
Are you just over Warcraft in general?
No. I feel like I've seen all that before. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. My question out of this news article is, if you could pick one video game to make a movie out, and you can pick any video game you want, what video game would you want a movie version done of it?
It's already been a lot.
I know. You got to pick a new one.
One that hasn't been done
first
before.
So we can think.
Oh, you want me to go first? I actually hadn't thought of one, but I will go ahead and say, ooh, now you got put me on the spot. I wasn't planning to answer my own question. Maybe Assassin's Creed. I think that could be a really cool version of a movie, kind of modern times and throws back, and then it has to play on itself. So maybe an Assassin's Creed.
Well, I think there's a lot of obvious answers with Nintendo characters, but Nintendo does not give out their IP for movies.
This is just a dream. You can pick anyone you want. It doesn't have to be realistic. Well,
it's a hypothetical situation. Bobby's worried about red tape and legal ramifications.
I'm just saying, you know.
I don't want to get sued here, guys.
Just in case we got any big wigs listening to the podcast that have a bright idea. No, because I was going to say Samus from Metroid.
I'm
surprised that hasn't been done, but then I'm not really surprised because Nintendo, ever since Super Mario, they were that happened. In the 90s, they were all right, we aren't doing doing any more movies. So we've never seen a Mega Man or a Samus or...
Have you guys ever seen the Mario Brothers movie? I've only seen a little clip.
I saw that in the theater.
Did you?
And you know what?
Is it as bad as people give it?
I got to watch it now as an adult. As a kid, I was just like, they didn't really capture the whole video game feeling of it all. It was very weird and very out there. And I mean, if it had been called anything else than Super Mario Brothers, it might have been a good movie and maybe even a cult classic, but it didn't really link the source material. Another thing they haven't made, Link, Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why haven't we seen one of those movies? That seems like an easy one.
You answered your own question. Nintendo's scared to fucking do a movie after that Super Mario debacle. But I think Marvel has proved that you can make... If you make the movie well...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter, and like, they could totally do that. Choosing to do.
And the time is right. Like, they would sell that movie no problem. No matter how bad it was, they'd make their money back.
For sure. All right, Emilio, you got to pick yours.
I don't know how they would do the story or anything, but I think Smite would be fantastic. Seeing all these different gods and all these pantheons.
Kind of like a Clash of the Titans, modern day Clash of the Titans.
Some of them side with the Chaos, and some, just like in the game, some side with the Order, and then they have a big duke it out. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So there you go.
Big battles.
All right, who's next up?
I'll go next. I meant to bring this up last week, but we didn't get around to it. Twitch has started a new channel called Creative, where they have people from Adobe or anybody really can be on there and stream any sort of creative content. So people painting, people using Adobe software, I saw people doing programming. I saw someone restoring an old car, just all sorts of stuff. I saw someone sculpting a Pip-Boy, like a full two-scale model of a Pip-Boy. It was really, really cool.
Like out of clay or something?
It was a white plaster or something. It was really
weird. What's that stuff called?
It had an actual screen in it, too. So it looked like soap, amazing. Right? Yeah, it looked like soap. But the biggest one on there for the longest time was a Bob Ross marathon that they had been running. And it had a steady 50,000 to 60,000 viewers. And it was great. I watched that.
I love Bob Ross.
Yeah.
I used to watch that when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah. Well, we're old enough to remember when that was actually on TV. If you don't know, Bob Ross is a painter. He did the show The Joy of Painting. He's a white dude with a big afro, and he would make these really nice landscapes. One time I saw him do a portrait, and it was not good. He didn't do portraits of people because he wasn't very good at it.
But he's not particularly very good, period. But what it is, I think, is he's just so into what he's doing.
Yeah. And it's a sight to behold. I mean, it's strangely hypnotic.
You can tell he's done a lot of drugs in his time.
It's probably the most calming thing. Like, it's just very calming.
I'm still... I would go on this Twitch channel right now if it was there.
It ended yesterday, I believe, or the day before yesterday.
Well, it's got a sign up that says stay tuned, and they have a countdown, so I don't know if it's coming back. I hope it does.
Yeah, he's dead.
He died like 20 years ago.
This was so popular that they did a face for this Kappa Ross. Kappa is kind of their like the Twitch face. They did Kappa Ross, where it's the Kappa face, but the Bob Ross afro.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know what's funny about this is like I looked up a lot of those little what do you call them? The little faces,
emojis, or their Twitch emojis,
Twitch emotes,
Twitch emotes.
I looked up a bunch of them, and most of them are just kind of like nobody knows what they really mean. A lot of them,
well,
the majority,
they're specific to the channel.
Yeah, it's specific to the channel.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ones that they always use, or I always see pop.
Well, because there's general ones that everybody can use, like PogChamp. PogChamp, you can just use generically, and that just means like you're excited because the dude's face looks like he just won the lottery. Mm, yeah. So the generic ones everybody knows, and then the like subscriber ones are the ones that are like kind of.
But can you take those to another?
Yeah, if you're in Twitch, you can use all of the different ones. You have a question though, right?
Yeah, I have a question about this. So, watching Bob Ross on Twitch was different than if I were to go to a YouTube channel or to download a video through a torrent site and to watch it then. There was just something different about flipping to that. Like it was on TV again, almost. It was really a different experience. So my question is Twitch, you know, a lot of people think YouTube is starting to replace television and TV programming, but I think Twitch is more like that because it's, you know, spontaneous. It's always on, whether you're there or not. It's something you can tune into as opposed to something you have to directly go out and seek. So I don't know. What do you guys think, YouTube or Twitch? What's the future?
I think Netflix and Amazon are replacing my TV. I don't have cable anymore. I have those two. But I think Twitch is very much like a theater. Like, in a movie theater, you're watching something, and if something funny happens, part of your realizing it's funny is everybody else laughing around you. It's almost like the laugh track, you know, that they used to put in sitcoms.
Yeah, I think that's what made this Bottle Rush thing so big, is because you were enjoying it with other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And everybody was really positive in the chat. That's a really thing.
But I still think the Twitch chat needs a better way to do it, because when you have lots of it is chaos, and I still think there's ways to improve that, but it is kind of, you feel like part of a group, you feel like part of a community when you're in Twitch, and I think that's what's part of what sells it. When I go on to Twitch, I don't want to go to the Twitch that has 15 people. I want to go on the Twitch that has 1,000 people.
Hey, fuck you, man. We all have to start somewhere.
We all have to start somewhere, and you're doing very well. But what I'm saying is, it kind of has that, it's been vetted. There's 1,000 people watching. That means it's decent enough that 1,000 people think it's worth their time. Therefore, I probably will think it's worth my time. So,
well, just because this they started this new creative channel and Bob Ross was so popular. It got me thinking that, you know, Twitch has always been a place for video games and for people to stream the games that they're playing, but I think it's kind of turning more into something now of just content. So how soon until we see like a TV show, like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just constantly streaming on a Twitch channel?
Well, Periscope kind of, you know, Periscope was one of those things where you could just watch people's lives. If they can, when they merge the two and you're going to have Periscope with a chat also following, that's going to be kind of
It does already.
Okay. Well, like, once you can start getting into that sort of avenue, take it beyond just the video games and into real life and everything else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Cool. Like, what's to stop them from, you know, taking a syndicated show like The Next Generation or something and putting it on Twitch and then constantly looping? So any time of the day, anywhere you are on your phone or wherever, you can just flip to that channel and watch episodes.
We're going back to channel flipping now instead of VOD, right?
Yeah, so that's why it started making me think, like, maybe this is a little more...
I just don't think that's going to ever happen, because the moment by moment revenue is never going to be high enough.
Well, it doesn't cost anything to do it, though.
But what I'm saying is, like, Saved by the Bell or whatever, these old shows, they're never just going to give it away for free. Like, Bob Ross...
No, going on Netflix is practically giving it away for free.
But it's not. They're still getting some revenue stream out of it. And the other thing is, you're not going to just constantly turn to a Bob Ross channel. This was cool for the week or two or however long it was on. But you're not going to be there 3 months from now seeing 60,000 people on the Bob Ross channel. Like, all that content will have already been seen.
Well, I don't think again and again and again.
That's why Twitch is so good, because you're watching people play video games, and video games have immediate, like, returns, and it's constant. It's new experiences all time and time again. I find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to do that for a TV show.
So, Bob, I think my answer is both. I think why not both? Maybe people are going to be creative, and it'll be a show type thing, and then you could just watch it later anytime you want, which makes it more YouTube. So it'll be like, watch the stuff live, and then, or if you missed it, just watch it later on VOD via Twitch or however.
And that's
so probably both. And that's how people are doing it now.
But it's not good enough now. Like we're missing Heroes of the Storm semifinals. I'm going to struggle to find, to be able to watch this now, because I missed it live.
Well, they set it up that way.
Yeah.
If you paid the $40 like Bobby, you'd be able to watch it right away.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I fucked up. All right, Amanda, what's yours?
One other thing. Can I do kettlebells on creative?
Yeah, I think so.
Why not, right?
I could just stream myself, like, editing videos, because I could narrate that pretty well. I was looking for someone doing that, like maybe somebody in, like, Premiere, After Effects or something. I was surprised I didn't see anything like that. A lot of game design in there, too. A lot of people using the Unity engine and doing some
that's
coding.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. It's really cool. It's a
sharing.
I'm going
to have a stream of just me slowly jerking myself.
Nobody's going to learn anything except for how to grapple
no,
very
I'm gonna
small things.
I'm going to talk about it as I do it.
How to delicately touch delicate things. Okay. All right, so this is kind of a big one. Black Ops 3 came out, and it's funny because Chad had just said the day before, hey, you guys are going to pick this up.
Because it's such a big game. It's such a big game. I feel like DL Gaming should cover it.
When I said, I got to play a military shooter, it's been a while. Let me see what the reviews are like. Hop on today. Oh, it's out. Click on it. Mixed reviews. Click on the mixed reviews. I didn't even see one thumbs up. So I'm going down, going down, going down. Either people can't launch the game, or once it's going, it looks like it stutters and it looks like shit. So it's a lot like Batman. Same thing. Meanwhile, it's running great on consoles and it's getting all these 8.5s and 9s. And so people are liking it there. Just like on Batman, I think, you know, it's a patch or two away, but it wasn't for Batman. So this isn't the same company, right? No, not even close.
No.
No. So, and then this also goes with some other thing. Ubisoft, which is, are they the biggest?
EA is probably bigger than Ubisoft, don't you think?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, but, top three.
Yeah, top sure. three. And they say that their console sales are down and their PC sales are up. And I thought, I'm pretty sure this was going to go, I mean, they always go back and forth, but I was pretty sure that this is the way things were going to trend, because the biggest games in the world, MOBAs, are on PC only. And so people were going to, like, eventually kids in high school are going to be like, okay, what the fuck is this stuff that everybody's talking about? Why are these guys wearing these t-shirts?
Yeah.
And then eventually just buy a laptop and figure out that PC gaming
Steam
is
Steambox, now that it's out.
And now Steambox is where if you spend the same amount as you would on a console on a computer, you have more processing power and way more options. You can do way more on them than you can. So anyway, it's so frustrating that they're selling more PC games, but still it's not getting...
Console sales down, PC sales up does not mean they're selling more PC games.
What does that mean?
Meaning consoles, if consoles were 70% of the market and PC was 30%, consoles might be down to 60% and PC might be up to 40%, but they're still selling more consoles.
Just I see what you're saying.
In the total. Yeah.
Right, right. But you can see how things are trending.
Yeah, anyway. They are trending.
So, I mean, are we going to continue to see this, or are these big companies going to finally realize that maybe it might even want, it would benefit them to even be the priority on PC? Because your games, first of all, your game's going to look best on PC. So you want it featured on PC.
Well, Bobby, you want to jump in first?
I don't think I can give an unbiased opinion on this because I am so deeply entrenched in PC gaming that I don't have any...
That you have a PC gaming podcast?
Yeah. I don't have any awareness of console gaming. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it seems like me, yeah, everybody should move towards PC gaming. That seems like it's the better way to game. But I don't know. Consoles apparently still sell a whole lot, and I don't really read up a lot on anything pertaining to them.
But is this going to continue to happen, do you think?
You never, I feel like, hear it is. But the thing is, like, I'm a PC gamer, so I'm always talking to people about PC gaming, and I'm surrounding myself with that kind of environment. So, of course, to me, it looks like PC gaming is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I'm sure there's evidence to prove otherwise.
I feel like this will not stop until it affects their bottom line. And maybe it did in a small amount for Batman, and maybe it will...
Small amount? Huge amount. They gave unconditional refunds at the last thing they did, right? Like, even after this last patch, they said unconditional refunds.
Maybe we're going to get to a point where a game either comes out for PC or for console. I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is you got to follow the money. When it hurts their bottom line is when you're going to see results. And I think for in both of these cases, I think it was a third party that was porting it their game to PC. And I think that might be something that stops. Instead of them using a third party company, they just do it themselves and do it
right.
How they should be doing it from the start, because this shouldn't be something that they think of as an afterthought. And hopefully we're getting to the point where they don't. But I think until it affects their bottom line, we're going to continue to see this. But there has been a lot of negative press. And I'm a little surprised at this, that this comes out and this same scenario happens after that whole Batman fiasco, I would have thought...
This is a bigger game than Batman, right?
I would have thought they would have dotted their I's and crossed their T's on this one.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see how this one plays out.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's move on to BlizzCon, which is probably the biggest thing of this week, right?
Yeah. BlizzCon is happening right now. Nobody here went, unfortunately. $200 a ticket if you can get one, and then they go for on eBay for about $400 or $500 after the fact.
So I have a couple friends that are going, so we might maybe have somebody on next week, similar to what happened for PAX.
Where is it?
It's up in Anaheim.
Yeah, okay. Not far from here.
Yeah, so maybe next podcast we'll see, but we might have somebody on to talk a little bit about BlizzCon and how it went.
Definitely.
It's really depressing. We live in San Diego, which is an hour and a half from Anaheim, and none of us have ever gone, right?
And I didn't even try to get press passes.
It's a tough thing to get into. Probably not as difficult as Comic-Con down here, but still, it's not easy. But I've been watching a lot of the content. I paid $40, got the virtual ticket, and they give you access to two different channels that you wouldn't ordinarily get if you go to the live stream. One is the main stage and one is just labeled panels. And that shows specific panels on certain games. The main stage is whatever the big highlight is. I've really become a Blizzard fanboy recently. So I'm like playing a lot of their games.
And well, they hit you with Hearthstone, which you got into, and then
Heroes of the Storm. Yeah.
Well, you were big into Hearthstone when it first came out.
Not really. I wouldn't say big. No. But I mean, I've always liked their games, so I'm watching a lot of the stuff, even the games that I don't play a whole lot, like World of Warcraft. I will say this though: last week we talked about how Hearthstone is not that exciting of a game to watch, but I found myself watching a Hearthstone match and really getting into it. It captivated me a lot more than I expected it to. Still not as exciting as the Heroes of the Storm tournament that we're missing right now. But,
I hope the finals aren't.
Okay, guys, calm down. Jesus.
I hope the finals aren't today. I hope they push them till tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they do. And I guess we can talk about that now. The finals were supposed to start Saturday today at 9:45 a.m. They did the draft for Heroes of the Storm, and there was some sort of technical difficulty that lasted 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I've never seen, you know, a lot of times in the international Dota 2, I've seen them pause the game for a little while. I've seen them take an hour, but 3 hours, maybe even more.
I've only seen something that anywhere near this long for a DDoS attack. Like, this wasn't a DDoS. This was hardware issues. People were scrambling around trying to figure something out. There were people running all over the stage. This was just poorly done by Blizzard. Let's be honest, right?
I have no idea. I have no idea what it takes to set up and run something like that, so I don't want to knock them too much.
But I do. Fuck you, Blizzard. They need to step their game up.
At the end of the day, they didn't get it done. They didn't get their job done.
Yeah.
So they fucked up.
Yeah.
No, as difficult to, or as easy of a thing as
I mean,
it is, they fucked up.
I would really, they do, in the international, they do like a behind-the-scenes thing, and they show how they do the camera and the casting and how they run all the communications and everything for the players, and it was really cool. They give you a tour of the booth where the players play, but I really don't know what all goes into this presentation, but it seems very elaborate and it seems like a lot.
But so, look at Smite's running with way less money, and their show went flawlessly. They did a great
and their prize job. Pool is way bigger.
And we're, yep,
500,000 for this Heroes of the Storm grand finale.
200,000. I thought it was.
No, 500.
Oh, 500?
Was the prize pool.
The prize pool was 500. Yeah, 200,000 for the winner, right?
Yeah, which doesn't seem like a lot. I was a little surprised at that, especially considering the American Championship first place was 100,000. I think the prize pool might have been 200,000. So, yeah, not a whole lot of money, but still, it's a the game just recently came out of beta. It's still getting a little bigger, but I will say it is probably my favorite esport to watch.
I'm I'm not a Heroes of the Storm player. I watch a lot of League. I watch the occasional Dota. Big into MOBAs.
Definitely.
Heroes of the Storm is just a little different because you don't have to look at their build a whole lot. You don't have to look at their items they built. It's literally just five people crashing into each other. It just feels a little bit like I'm watching 8-year-olds play soccer, where it's just cluster ball, right? Like,
sure.
Like eight people cluster around the ball and they're all trying to kick it. That's just kind of how I feel about Heroes of the Storm. But
I mean, I obviously,
the
there's
game.
A lot more to
it. Oh,
than
for
that.
Sure, for sure, for sure.
How about professional soccer players, but they're in those big samurai suits, right? They're running around the field. They know what they're doing, but it all looks kind of clumsy.
Or maybe it's similar to like arena football, where they're highly skilled players, but they're just in such a small space that there's just crazy. Because I'm used to like watching League of Legends, where you have to worry about top lane and bottom lane. No, everything's just crammed together. It's crazy. It's a whole lot of fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. This is a lot more fun to watch than a lot of these other MOBAs because it is so action oriented. It's so team oriented.
It is to MOBAs what Gonzo was to porn. Like it cut out the whole storyline where you have to, oh, I found my wallet, or I found your wallet. Let's fuck. There's no build up anymore. It's just straight to the game.
Yeah, literally 5v5 in level one. And just go to the middle sometimes.
Yeah.
It's fun. Bobby's getting mad at us.
Hey, there's five over there. There's five over there. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I'm interested in hearing the outside opinion, but I don't know. I find that a lot more entertaining and a lot more
true.
Fun to
it
play.
Is a blast.
Oh, yeah. Gonzo's way better than story-based porn. But, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Wow.
Yeah. Heroes of the Storm is a blast to watch. And I don't know any of the players. The fact that a USA team might be making it to the finals, we'll see how it follows up.
You know, we could find out right now if we were actually watching.
I feel like we're
beyond
that.
They're so mad at me because I'm the one who put a time constriction on this thing.
But everybody always talks about, oh, American teams. You know, I feel like we're kind of past that point where we have to say, like, you know, this game is Korean dominated or Chinese dominated. You know, I think Americans are like big contenders in a lot of these games.
Not League of Legends.
No, yeah.
They were one team in the top 20 or
but
something?
But Dota? I mean, Dota.
Well, what I know
for sure.
I think a lot of other countries like to talk shit about America because we're a big country and we should be better. But like,
should we? What should we?
Because we're huge compared to every other country in Europe.
Not really, man. Well,
their population and geographically,
huge.
We're ginormous.
It's like size wise, we're huge. We're bigger
than
all of
really
Europe.
Fat.
Basically.
We're huge too.
Yeah, true. We are the fattest country in the world, probably.
But yeah, there's a ton of esports going on at BlizzCon. They had the World of Warcraft matches going. They had Hearthstone matches, Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft II, which is a trip to watch. And that's 1v1. That's
not Worlds, though, right? Korea
I don't
does
think
their
these
own
are world championships.
Like,
now.
Basically, StarCraft II is we've just seeded the worlds over to Korea, right? And whoever wins in Korea is the world champion.
Probably. They've got a very big StarCraft scene over there.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody even tries.
Yeah. I noticed the Hearthstone players were ex-poker players. Maybe not ex, but they were really successful poker players, and they had kind of transitioned into Hearthstone, and that seems like a pretty common thing amongst a lot of people who compete now in Hearthstone, which
That's
I didn't
easy.
Know before.
Makes sense. You know?
Yeah. No,
a lot absolutely. Of the same skills.
Don't you wish you were like 8 or 9 right now, just like getting into teenagerhood and seeing all these games that there was no such thing as esports when we were.
Yeah,
no,
the same
was.
Thing though, man. It's like
not
every little kid wanted to be in the NFL, but only a fraction of 1% of 1% makes it in.
I know, but
this.
Would you have what it takes, you think, as a kid even, if you were younger?
Not at all. Not at all. But the barriers to entry to get into the NFL, you couldn't be a pro in any other sport but esports at 14 years old. Like, none of the other big sports, you can't be a pro in.
Right.
Maybe tennis, maybe. Maybe golf, maybe.
Yeah.
But none of the other big sports.
Olympics, you can, like at 16, you could take a gold medal, right?
Yeah.
15, 16. But
those are like the ice skaters, right? Or something like
or
that.
Gymnastics.
Yeah, gymnastics. Yeah, you're right.
Dude, I saw a little gif between the like 1960s gold medal, and it's just like a girl, she does a backflip.
It's
and
the pommel
vault,
horse.
The vault, right?
The vault, yeah, the vault.
And then
she basically does one flip.
Yeah. And she's like, ta-da! It's like gold medal. And then it shows current day, 2014.
She does like a triple flip with
really,
like 2.5 rotations. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
And God for PEDs.
Yep.
Well,
sure.
BlizzCon is still going on. We're still watching a lot of that. So we'll probably have more to talk about it next week.
Well, let's hit all these points here.
Yeah.
There was a two-headed hero that's coming out on Heroes of the Storm, which is probably the first time this has been done for any MOBA. He's like a really big dude, and
he's
controlled
an
by two
Cho'Gall.
Players.
Cho'Gall.
Did they talk about how, like, is somebody doing the movements, the other guy's doing the... attacks.
I bet you one guy is doing like melee and movement, and the other guy can also do ranged attacks.
Yeah. So this, I believe, is part of the exclusive content that I have yet to watch. I've watched the Heroes of the Storm panel, and they've gone over two of the characters, Greymane, the guy who turns into a worgen or a wolf, and the Dryad, who were really annoying in Warcraft 3, if you ever played that game,
yep.
But Lunara. But they have not gotten to Cho'Gall. Cho and Gall are two different, they're the two different heads. But yeah, it's supposed to be controlled by two different characters. And
not two different players.
Yeah, control one character.
So the downside is obviously mobility. You can't get around to where you need to be because two players are always going to be like bound to one area that you can't split up.
But,
although that doesn't happen very much in this game anyway.
Yeah, but Heroes of the Storm is unique, and they'll take risks like this. They've got a guy, Abathur, who basically can sit at your base. You can basically never attack him if he chooses to play safe.
Yeah.
He can sit at the base. He's the guy that has his minions go to follow the creep wave.
Oh, okay.
And then he can, like, sit on top of somebody else and shoot shit out of that other person. So he can sit at the base. And then there's another guy, Murky, who has an egg that spawns. And even if you kill him, he just respawns in his egg and just can keep fighting.
What's the downside?
If you find the egg and kill him, he'll actually have a respawn timer.
Oh,
but so basically the trick.
You put it in your base?
Yeah, and if you kill him,
he's got a range. Like,
yeah. If you kill him, he respawns in 5 seconds, and you get XP for that, but only about a third of the XP that you would get from killing another hero.
So this League of Legends and Dota don't have any of these. All of League of Legends and Dota have traditional kill, death, assist things, and if you kill a hero, he's dead, and that's how it goes.
This is like the bleeding edge of MOBAs.
Heroes of the Storm is taking some risks, and this two-headed hero is definitely one of these risks that they're taking.
I think it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah.
Overwatch, the pre-order is $30.
No,
$40.
For the standard.
For the standard, and then $50.
$60 for the advanced one, which gives you Hearthstone back.
Bunch of in-game
card.
Digital
yeah, games. Yeah. For all their other games, you get something.
Yeah. And this is so smart that they have crossover within all their games. You do something in this game, you get something for this game. And then if you don't happen to play that game, well, let me go check that out.
Exactly.
Or I haven't played that in a while, let me boot it up.
They do great cross-promotion, Blizzard does. I was watching a lot of these Heroes of the Storm matches last night and this morning, and almost all of these teams have the Void Speeder. And you get the Void Speeder if you purchase the deluxe edition of Legacy of the Void, which is coming out in just a week here. But I think a lot of these players are not playing StarCraft 2 because they're professional HOTS players. I'm pretty sure they just bought a $60 mount.
That's true.
So I don't know. But Blizzard does a great job of doing that cross promotion. And yeah, Overwatch for $40, I'm really glad they took this route. Just a flat fee, you get the game, there you go.
Why do you think they went this route? Just out of curiosity, do you think because of gameplay, you have to have every character available? Similar to Dota. How Dota has every character available?
Well, that's exactly the reason. And they said that when they were demonstrating the game and some preview. But they said they don't want a game to be going on and somebody makes a guy with a big shield and there's a hard counter to that guy. But what if you don't have it unlocked? Well, then you just get wiped left and right. So they didn't want that to happen. They want everybody to, you know, like in Team Fortress 2, if you have a spy that's just wrecking people, you go pyro and then you solve that problem real quick. If you had to unlock the pyro and no one had the pyro unlocked, that would not be a very fun game.
Yeah.
So they're trying to avoid stuff like that, which I think is a smart idea.
And I also think it's cool. It's a $40 game. The full price we consider $60, right? That would be a full.
Yeah.
So it's a $40 game, which means you basically had $20 if you want to put it into costumes and whatever other, you know, like paid for perks.
Are they going to have microtransactions?
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
They already. With the premium, they already said you get two costumes in the Overwatch.
Well, if you pre-purchase just the $40 edition, the standard edition, you get a skin for one of the characters. So it looks like there will be cosmetics in this game.
For sure.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, that's cool. And they can make their money that way. Absolutely.
Has anybody ever had an issue with cosmetic paid for? I think it's just a cool way to like...
No. How could you?
Yeah. Like,
cosmetics I do hope that you can unlock it through XP. That'd be nice, too.
I like when they do that too, but as long as it's not guns really or like functional items, like I'm okay with it. If it's purely cosmetic, sure.
But Blizzard does a good job on that because for example, in Heroes of the Storm, when you hit level 10 with a character, you get the other, like, costume or whatever. Mm-hmm. They do a good job
of having... allows you to buy that with in-game currency.
Yeah, they have a good mix of leveling up to get stuff or buying stuff to get stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. They also did announce when you pre-order this, they said it's going to be available on or before June 21st, 2016. So...
it's a long ways
away. That's a lot further out than I thought it was going
to
be.
But that's the date they're giving themselves, which is, you know, it's rare for Blizzard to give a date.
They're doing it more and more, though. I think the last, like, few releases have had a date.
Yeah. I mean, as you get closer, it's easier to name a date, but yeah, a lot of companies don't like to hold themselves to that date, because what if something changes or goes wrong, or if they have to address a problem, then, you know, they need the time to fix that, and then people lose their minds if you say one date and it turns out to be another. So I think they're just giving themselves a lot of time, and we'll probably see it before then. The beta that I've been watching on the streams looks ready to go.
I think the only thing that's holding them back, similar to Heroes of the Storm, is they have to have their stable of characters before they can release it live, and I think...
yeah. Well, they're at 16 now, and I think they said they're going to have, what, 21 at release, or somewhere around there?
Yeah. How many does Heroes of the Storm have right now?
I want to say...
they're in their 40s,
yeah,
range,
right? I want to say they're in their 40s, 42 or 3.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to play the shit out of that engineer.
Yeah, you will.
So, highlights and lowlights?
Yep.
What, cool. Do you want to...
well, it's, either way, it works both ways.
Okay. So, who requested this? Clown Lotion, I think, requested that we play Galax-Z, which is Galak.
We're basically his fucking his puppets, because he comes up later on. He's always contributing. Guys, if you want us to do anything, just ask us.
Yeah.
Pretty much, it comes out.
So, which I was kind of bummed, because I bought this game and then I realized that I had it for free on consoles. But anyways, so I bought this game, Galax-Z. So what? How would you describe this game?
It's an asteroids type game. So basically, your ship is always in the center of the screen,
mm-hmm,
and things go on around it. But it also has a little bit of fumble core to it.
yeah.
The controls are wacky, and they're wacky on purpose.
Do you think they're wacky on purpose?
100%, yeah.
Because, so, my question that I raised is, can controls make or break a game for you?
Well, yeah.
Because everything else about this game I liked. The graphics are awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that you can upgrade your ship.
The production value.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All of this stuff, I had no complaints about this game. But I was stuck at like 1.2. I couldn't beat 1.2 because the controls are so hard. I couldn't freaking beat anything.
I beat it on the first try. So it's all relative, dude. It's like.
But you were the same. You were having the same issue. You were saying these controls are really fucking hard.
Yeah, but it's on purpose. Like, that's what they intended to do. Not to say that if you do something on purpose, that makes it okay. But in this case, for me, definitely, it's part of the fun. Trying to learn this wacky new control scheme is part of the fun.
Controls never equal fun for me. Controls only piss me off.
Like, what about fumble core?
I don't like any fumble core.
Well,
game.
Then there you go. That's why you don't like this game.
Yeah.
I could see. I thought the production value for, you said $8?
$8 or $9.
I can definitely recommend this game. It says $20 there, dude.
Yeah, it looks like retail on Steam is $19.99.
No, I bought this for a lot cheaper than that.
Oh, maybe it's 50% off or something. Yeah, production value, voice acting, and the whole thing, they're trying to go for like a 90s...
80s maybe even?
Yeah, port from like a Japanese anime over to America. It, like, very Speed Racer, very... where are those guys with the hawks, with the metal wings? Space Hawks?
Or yeah.
Am I too old?
Is this too old? No, yeah, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. But
didn't one guy have a guitar?
Very Voltron-ish. The kind of thing, that's what they're going for. But it's not a Japanese game, I don't think. I think there's an American take on a Japanese American show, if that makes any sense. It's got a lot of character to it. I like it a lot. I'm going to continue to play it. I did figure out, because it says roguelike, I did figure out why. I was saying this isn't very roguelike-y. So I had to start over from the beginning.
And you selected rogue?
No. But you can only heal yourself 1 point per between levels. So if you took 4 points damage, or three, let's say, and you're left with one, you can only heal one of those. You go into the next level with only two health.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. Like, it was really, really hard. So I did a fresh start, and then I knew what I was doing, and now I'm blowing right through it a lot easier. So I think, like, you can ruin a playthrough. You can get... kind of paint yourself into
and you're not you're doing the easier version you're doing the
arcade
yeah so the arcade is the easier version because it saves after every level you play. Rogue only saves after every five levels you play through, so you can really have some challenge.
I don't know what else, because when I did the restart, maybe I did Rogue the first time, because when I did the my new fresh play, the levels I was getting were in a different order and they were a lot easier. And then
okay, so because I seriously played a level that was so fucking hard. What? They were just throwing bosses at me, just left and right.
Was it the boss with the big sword? Yeah, like he's a big...
No, it was a bunch of those big bugs. A bunch of those big bugs.
You have a dash attack. If you use that perfectly, you're pretty much invincible. It's really
I didn't have dash at that point.
Or not dash, but...
Yeah, I didn't even have that yet. Oh. Yeah, it was hard.
I think he had it. So I recommend it,
but you couldn't recommend it for 20. It for 10.
I was blown away that it was 8. You said 8. I was like, yeah. For $8, it's really good. $20 is, well, I don't know. I have to play it a little bit more. Got to see how much depth there is there.
It's all about that depth.
Yeah.
Oh, a follow up question. Is there any other game that you've played that you had to put down because the controls were so bad?
Yes. It was Dark Souls, the first one. I don't think I could. I tried playing that on a keyboard.
Oh,
that was okay. Before I bought a controller.
It's just, like games it's that were impossible. Designed for controller.
Like 27 buttons, dude.
Yeah, I remember
there's
that.
There's not that many buttons on a fucking controller.
Yeah, I remember. You were trying to like. Yeah, you were getting pissed about that. Oh, I remember that.
And fucking Grand Theft Auto 4. The only reason I didn't beat that game is because I was going between a keyboard and controller, depending on what I'm doing, right? Which is fine. Like, I have no problem. But there's this one thing where I just couldn't do it. You were, like, jumping from a motorcycle into a helicopter. And then I think back then you had to, like, go. I just couldn't do it. I did it, like, 50 tries, and I just couldn't beat the last guy because of this. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Bobby, have you ever had a control scheme so bad that you just fucking had to stop the game and you said, this is fucking done?
No, I mean, it's never been that extreme, but I really thought... I played games where I think the controls are really obtuse and that it wasn't meant to be part of the game. Sometimes a game will do something a certain way, and I fully respect that, but I had a lot of trouble with Skyrim. I played a character that casted a lot of spells, and I found it really... really obtuse, the way you had to switch between spells, how you had to load one in your right and one in your left and then cast with each one, or it didn't make any sense to me, unfortunately.
Yeah. Weird thing about that is your right hand is your left click and and then vice versa.
Yeah, so it's reverse, and then you have to switch them, and then you have to add the spells to a hot bar so you have like a full inventory of spells, and then you add a few to a hot bar, and then those are the ones that you can like scroll through to like assign to a left or right. I think that's because the game was meant to be more like an RPG and less like an action-oriented game. But
so funny, man. Who knows that if you would have went a warrior?
Yeah, else, exactly. If I would have went like a melee class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? One more follow-up question. Do you change the controls around to fit you, or do you try to learn the controls that are standard?
I almost never change the controls.
I'm the same way. And every time I watch a Milo, he's changing his buttons up and all this sorts of stuff. And,
for sure.
And I'm like, okay.
I use my mouse buttons. I mean, no game comes with mouse buttons.
Yeah, that's true.
So first thing I do, any first-person shooter, my reload goes on one on my mouse and melee attack goes on my mouse. Both of those things, I don't want to let go of WSAD in order to do those things.
There was one game... way back in the day, it was probably Counter-Strike or something like that, that taught you WASD.
Right.
And you probably wanted to do the up, down, left, right buttons.
No.
And you chose to learn the WASD.
No.
How do you know these next games that control scheme won't become the standard. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, why?
I think there's already been like a standard established with games.
But you had to learn that at some point. You didn't know what to do, right? And you learned WSAD. But
every game is like that. EverQuest and Tribes were both like that when I started. So,
I figure there's a reason that the developer made the control scheme the way they did. So,
I
always feel like that's the optimal way to play, is just whatever that they give you. And then, you know, that's the way, if I learn to do it their way, then I'm going to reach my full potential at this game, as opposed to me reconfiguring the controls to how I like them and then kind of limiting myself in the long run.
But look, you're hitting, every time you hit reload, there's no way you can strafe right. It's impossible. For that half a second that it takes you to go over to push R, half a second you can't strafe right.
Doesn't take
half
a second to hit R.
Okay, even a tenth of a second in a Twitch shooter.
I guess because I come from a video game testing background.
Yeah.
Any time that there would be any hint that this wasn't the correct control stream, it has been brought up 18,000 times because you have every single tester doing that same exact motion. And anytime it wasn't the correct motion, they're going to bring it up. So I figure, like, the control scheme that they have set up is the correct one. And I'm just not good enough to use it yet, and I'm going to learn how to do it. That's just kind of my thought process when I go through it.
I guess we're talking about different things. I'm just slightly modifying my game.
Yeah.
Not changing the control scheme.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, crappy games.
Oh, okay. Flying Hawaiian bought me a 10-pack from G2A. And this week I kind of...
Went through a
couple of them. I haven't played more than an hour on any of these, but I wanted to tell you just how crappy some of these games are. Heli Heroes. This game...
Can I guess? Is it an isometric helicopter game?
It is. You are correct.
That was a total guess, dude.
You are correct. What developer were you talking about when we went to the movies this week?
Oh, Digital Homicide.
It felt like that because they've got this one guy doing voice acting in the background, but he's saying stuff that is completely unrelated to whatever's going on in game.
So one of these, same thing.
So I'm playing this game, and it's literally what's the opposite of skill based? I could have just put the controller down and it would have gotten through this. And I got to the fourth level and then my helicopter got stuck trying to get out of base. And so I quit out of this game. Knights and Merchants. I literally did not get to the first action. The first tutorial. I literally got to the first tutorial screen and quit out of this game. And I said, I'm not playing this game. Jack Orlando. I got to the... Jack Orlando, I got to the first, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure a little bit. I got to the first part where I get to actually choose my own adventure, and all the options I couldn't advance, and then it locked and crashed me out of the game.
Bobby, did you see, it was on the front page of Steam, there's a choose your own adventure novel?
Yeah, there's a couple that have been on the...
But it's, there's no
yeah,
pictures and no audio. I don't know.
I think I did see that, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Those were the bad ones. There's a couple ones that I actually did have a little fun. Commando Jack is kind of a tower defense game, but you can actually... They are planning that they want to just walk towards your base, and you can actually block them with your towers.
Are they trying to get your barbecue?
No, they are not dinosaurs trying to get my barbecue. So I had a half a minute of fun on that. And then the one I've actually had the most fun with was Planets Under Attack, which I would honestly pay a dollar for. This was a game worth a dollar, and I think Flying Hawaiian paid about a dollar for this, so I would say that he got his money's worth.
Because of this one game.
Because of this one game.
It was the diamond in the rough.
It was the diamond, and I also have Two Worlds, expanded
Two Worlds
edition.
Two?
Yeah, so I also have that one.
That's
so
really good. Actually.
I think Flying Hawaiian made his money off this with the dollar.
Off of your joy?
Off of my joy, yeah. So thank you, Flying. I would not... If you want to have a good laugh, you play either Heli Heroes, Knights and Merchants, or Orlando Jack, because you'll get a good kick out of how bad games can be.
I've seen a lot of combination of titles of Knights and this, or Dragons and that. Never with Merchants.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Soldiers
and
shop owners.
Side note, every single crappy game has this Topware. I don't know if they're the publisher or developer or whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Topware. It's usually in crappy 640 by 480 view with a lot of pixelization. But Topware always comes out of my screen, and I'm like, okay, this game's going to suck. As soon as I see that pop out.
It's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Mini Metro?
Oh, Mini Metro. I talked about that a couple months ago. It got out of early access. It's now officially a game. I really like this game.
It's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
But it's not a puzzle game where you have to, like, sweat it. You kind of have your fun. It's kind of just a relaxing game. You can kind of just sit there and kind of zone out.
Do it at your pace.
Yeah.
Your own pace.
They added some cool stuff. There's a daily challenge, which is a lot of fun. There's also a kind of a hard mode, but you can't unlock the hard mode for the map unless you complete a specific objective to get the hard mode. And the specific objective is hard to get. So it's kind of adds fun to the game where you have to actually unlock things. Everything is fun about it. The only downside is it just doesn't have good music. Like, I'm sitting there playing a map.
You can turn it down and play your own, I guess.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But it just...
With a puzzle game, that's easier. It's easier on a puzzle game to do that than any other kind. But that's no excuse.
I would have just liked... That's my only downside of this game is the music. I would have liked a nice musical score if they had put a nice musical score. Very atmospheric. It would have been a lot of fun.
Which isn't hard to do. There's so many creators out there that just want to get their shit out.
Yeah.
Talk to my man Bobby over here.
Exactly. He'll kill up. So, that's my only downside, but I highly recommend Mini Metro. It's a lot of fun.
So that looks like a good game. I remember you talking about that a couple months ago. Whenever that goes on sale, I think it's been part of a Humble Bundle before.
You could just play it off my...
Oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah, off my games.
Well, you know, then I would have to not play other games.
That's true. That is true.
The biggest problem with Mini Metro is that other games exist.
Yeah. I'll tell you another terrible game you can add to the list of the ones you just talked about is Lift It.
Oh, yeah. Talk about Lift It.
Well, I played it for about 5 minutes, and that's about all you need to play it for.
We were watching Bobby stream.
Yeah, it was so funny. I had to turn on my stream and say, hey, come look at this. Come see the freak show. It's a game where you lift weights, and it's really bad.
You're literally a bro.
You're a character. It's a third-person point of view. You're a character that the opening screen says, welcome to Gym Island, and... you go to an island that has a bunch of gyms on it. You walk into the first one, and your arms don't move as you walk, so you look very odd.
Well, because you're swole, so of course they're not going to move.
Yeah, you're just bulging.
Yeah.
So you go to, like, the weights machine, and then you just mash the keys. You mash the up and down arrows, and then you get some points. And apparently you do this with all the machines, and then you go on to the next gym, and you can walk outside. It's a really bad game. But
you guys were laughing. Right?
Oh yeah,
we were laughing. It was hilarious.
Right. It was.
He walked outside and walked to a park bench with the dude playing the guitar, and then the dude with the guitar offered to give him his guitar.
And the text box come up and said, and literally said, "Dude, let me see that guitar. Let me play your guitar." And then the guy gave me his guitar, and then I could hit keys and play chords on the guitar. Yeah. I don't know where this game was going. Like, what was that? Like a side mission?
Basically look like dungeons.
Yeah, well, it looks like a game that came out in, like, 1999. It's just an old, bad-looking game.
And the dude runs. His arms don't move. So he's basically... Oh, God.
What did you pay for this?
It was part of a bundle. I think I paid, like, $3 for it, and I got 12 games, and that was one of them.
Oh, okay. So it was probably worth the 40 cents or whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Worth the laugh. Yeah, definitely worth the laugh. All right, well, I think that's about it for all we've been playing here.
Yeah.
I know BlizzCon's been taking up a lot of my time. Clown Lotion had
our producer, Clown Lotion.
Yeah. Wait. What's the segment called?
It's a brand new segment. You know, people always want to know about hardware, so we have a new segment, and it's called Bobby So Hard.
Where?
We need to work on that. I don't know.
No, I think that worked perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There was no downside.
Maybe listen to this podcast when you're sober and we'll see how it plays. But
I'm completely sober. I haven't had a drunk moment.
All right. Bobby So Hard. Let's talk about it.
Where?
And so we're going to talk about hardware. You know, and I was going to talk a lot about, because Clown Lotion specifically brought up all the settings that are in PC games. You know, the first thing I do, and I've said this before on the podcast, the first thing I do when I first start a game, even a game like Lift It, is I go into the settings and I turn everything up. You know, the resolution, the AA, the AF, all that stuff. But what does all that shit mean? You know, if you come from a console, it can be a little nauseating to have to deal with all that stuff. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people know what a lot of that means. They just go in and they say, okay, what's the maximum setting for
this? No, I do the auto detect.
Oh, the auto detect. Yeah, which is good. And video card software will do that for you as well, which is great. Depending on what card you have, it'll automatically adjust those settings. But it wasn't always like that. And in a lot of games, you still have to manually adjust those. So rather than going through all that, because there's a lot of it and that could take a lot of time, I'm just going to do like a little bit each week. And this week, I wanted to talk about AA, or anti-aliasing, which is probably
jagged dots around the edges.
Jagged
pixels.
But I would say it's one of the most important settings in your graphics. Frame rate's becoming a big issue or a big deal with with G-Sync and all that stuff. But you know, the first most important setting that you can set in your graphics option is going to be resolution. Most people have a monitor that supports 1920 by 1080. You know, you call that 1080p. The higher your resolution is, the harder it is for your computer to run that game, but the better it looks. And it makes the biggest difference. And then anti-aliasing, probably the second most important one there, in my opinion, but super intensive on your GPU as well. And what that does is if you have, you know, there's not a lot of straight lines in video games. Everything's curved or at an angle. So what anti-aliasing does is it takes those jagged edges, because if you blur or if you zoom in really close to something, you can see the pixels, the blocks, and it creates these hard, jagged lines. So anti-aliasing gets rid of that. But the thing is, they used to have just anti-aliasing that you could turn up like, you know, 1x all the way up to 16x. And now they have all these new different ones. I had to make some notes here because they have really weird names. You know, they have MSAA, they have FXAA, they have TXAA.
Yes, like seen all that. Yeah. Help me out here.
Okay, so I've got my explanation for that. So MSAA is multi-sampling AA. This is kind of the first iteration to come out. And so that only applies to parts of the frame that are affected by jagged edges. So it's less intensive on your GPU. This is like a huge impact on your GPU if you crank anti-aliasing all the way up. So MSAA kind of does the same thing, but only where it's needed. So it doesn't strain your card that much. And is there a question over here?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
How do you know where on the 2x to 16x you should put your AA?
Well, the higher the better. And the thing is, too, the higher your resolution, the less of those jagged edges you get. So a lot of people argue if you're running 4K, you don't need AA turned on at all. Your resolution is so high that you're not going to see those jagged edges anyway.
Okay.
And why put the extra strain on your computer?
That makes
sense. So would you say find the resolution you want, then put the AA all the way up and then dial it back as needed?
I would say use the highest resolution that you can. Yeah. To where the game won't lag. And a lot of times it's difficult. If you're in a small area, take Tomb Raider, for instance. You know, early
best
in
that, game of all time.
You know, let's not go there. But you start the first part of that game, a lot of the time you're in that cave, you know, where there's all that blood and stuff. When you're in an interior closed area like that, much easier for the computer to run. Then you step out into this huge, luscious forest with all this foliage and everything going on, much harder to render. So, and explosions too, and like Battlefield or something, that's a lot harder to render as well. So that's when you really want to test this. You know, what can your computer handle? You know, what resolution can your computer handle during those types of scenes? So go for the highest resolution you can, and then worry about the anti-aliasing. If you can get a high resolution, but you can't crank up anti-aliasing, don't worry about it. You know, it's better to have a high resolution and a low AA.
AA is like the frosting.
Yeah.
It makes everything taste better, but you can still eat
it's made to compensate for low resolution. So if you have high resolution, and I would consider that 2560 by 1440 or 4K, then I really wouldn't worry about it. Even 1080p, a lot of people argue you don't need that much AA for that. But MSAA, the multi-sampling anti-aliasing, doesn't have quite the same impact. So that's better. But then they came out with FXAA, which is fast approximate anti-aliasing. And this is even faster. It's the least intense of all the modes. It doesn't use high resolution frame data. There's a bunch of technical jargon that that is the reason why this works the way it does. But, and I've noticed this in games, specifically Far Cry 3 is when I first noticed it. It makes the edges look more blurry. So it doesn't really look as good as MSA, at least not to me. But it's the quickest one. So maybe if you bump your resolution all the way up, you can run FXAA.
Hmm. So MS sounds like the smartest one.
Well, it was for a while, but then they came out with TXAA, or a lot of times I see this called MLAA. Too many acronyms, I know. But they call it Temporal AA. And this is the best one. If you can, if the game has this, use this. It's just like MSAA, but it takes in previous frames. It accounts for that. So it's got this new, faster algorithm or whatever to take all that into account. So, you know, to put this simply, best option is TXAA or MLAA. Second best option, MSAA. Or if you really want, you know, if your computer's chugging along, use FXAA, or just turn the AA down entirely.
So first, get your resolution as high as possible.
Yeah. No, number one priority, I always tell people, get your resolution as high as possible, then worry about AA. And, you know, at another point in time, maybe next week, we'll talk about anisotropic filtering and a few other settings. There's a lot of settings these days for lighting, I've noticed. A lot of lighting settings these days, which is really cool. And, you know, they started doing a lot of stuff with lighting around the Half-Life 2 game. You know, that was kind of a groundbreaking game when it came out with the ragdoll effects and with the ambient occlusion. Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff there. But
actually, it didn't come out until Forgotten Coast or whatever that...
The Lost Coast.
The Lost Coast,
well, yeah. The Lost Coast was just a tour of that. You just walked through the world and you would stop. And then Anton, what's his name, the guy who designed City 17 and also Dunwall from... From
the Talented Duke.
Dishonored, yeah. Great level designer. He narrates that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not what I was talking about, though. So there was episode 1 and episode 2, and then there was a whole game. Another expansion called Something Coast.
The Lost Coast. No, that's just a tour.
It's not a game. I know what you're talking about. There is a game also.
But a whole other game? I'm not remembering this.
It was just like some extra hidden levels and stuff like that that happened in between... Like 1 and 2 or something like that.
Yeah, well, I still haven't even played episode 2.
Damn, that's crazy, man.
I know. Well, you know, I think I've said this before, but I played the first part of Half-Life 2 probably 3 times, and then I kept losing my save files for, you know, like changing computers or whatever. And then finally, one time, I forced myself to play the whole game straight way through and finally beat it, but I'm so burnt out on Half-Life 2 at that point. Nothing worse than having to replay content.
Yeah. True.
Especially something so linear.
Yeah.
Bobby talks hard. I think
Bobby gets hard.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. Let's talk news.
All right. We got a few more news items here. Candy Crush sold for $5.9 billion.
Well, not Candy Crush. Wasn't it the whole company?
The headline I read said Candy Crush, but probably the whole company. Yeah.
Well, Candy Crush probably is the company.
And yeah.
Is Candy Crush worth $5 billion?
Well, the way they got this value is, you know, they took what it makes in a year and they extrapolated it for 3 years, and this is what it makes. That's how much it makes.
That is insane. Yeah,
but basically buying it for that much is saying that it's going to continue to make that much for the next 3 years. I don't see that happening, but what do I know?
Yeah.
So basically, we've got our Match 3 app coming out, or DL Gaming Match 3.
Yeah, DL Gaming Matches 3. Uh-huh. It's all three of our faces. You got to match them together, and then they make out with each other.
It's different size areolas and colors.
Yep. Wow. We just went to a dark place. What else we got?
Item stores are popping up in Steam games. So they list the market price. What exactly is the item store? Is this a store that pops up in the game or on the Steam page?
On the Steam page for the game.
Okay.
So the only one that has it right now is Rust. So Rust, you can bring up a menu in Steam and they can show you what they have for sale.
But in-game. In-game.
Well, it's in Steam. So you could pause it, or you can't pause Rust.
So it's like the DLC page on the store page, the DLC part. They just have an item.
Something like that, yeah. But it looks more like the community market, where you could just look at everything they have on sale. You can purchase something, and then I don't know how it shows up, but then you get it in your actual game. I don't know what to really think about this. The marketplace already exists, and so this is kind of like contending with the marketplace, but all the money goes straight to Steam and the developer, and then there's not a lot of room for players to make money now. But if it's cheaper on the market, you could just buy it from the market right there. I think this is kind of like this, I want this right now, I'm just going to grab it for right here. If there's none on the marketplace, but the marketplace will like, probably always win out.
Is this like, I'm in trouble, I'm hiding, and there's dudes here, I'm going to buy a shotgun
I don't so know I if can that blow them away? I don't know if you would get your item that quickly, but that'd be interesting.
That would be weird.
Quantum leap yourself a shotgun.
So it's literally people playing first-person shooters, but they can buy shit for real money and just buy, like, shotguns or... Okay.
I wonder if they're going to expand this to other games.
Yeah.
So you guys should talk for a bit because I got to do the raffle. Well, we could add it to the end of the when we had the other thing at the end of the game. So all right.
Well, we're going to be doing a raffle next week, right? A review raffle.
Well, I sure
we're going to be announcing. Yeah, we're going to be announcing the winner of a review raffle, which is if you leave us a review on iTunes, you are automatically entered in all of our review raffles. We pick someone at random off that list, and you know, if you leave us a review, leave your Steam ID, that helps us out, get in touch with you
for sure.
And we usually give away Steam gift money, but sometimes it's games, sometimes it's other stuff. Usually we save the good things for the review raffle.
Yeah. And I also did a Twitter contest today, so I will be announcing that on Twitter today. So follow us on Twitter. We there's just giveaways everywhere, guys.
Yep.
DL Gaming, yeah. DOT Net.
Pretty DL much Gaming, for everything.
DOT Net. Yeah.
And you stream most days on the Twitch stream at DL Gaming DOTNet as well.
Yep.
And then, are you guys playing? Is Fallout 4 coming next week?
3 days from now.
Yeah.
Are you? But who's counting? You're buying it?
I already bought it. Yeah.
It's already bought.
Bobby, Legacy of the Void on the 10th is what I will be. November's like the biggest month for video games.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah,
this is a really good year for us.
But yeah, I'm going to be playing Legacy of the Void when that
comes out. So next week there's going to be a lot of shit to talk about, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
You guys want to do our Game of the Years in January? Like January 1st or like first week of January?
Cool. Yeah, we can definitely talk about it.
Yeah. Awesome. So any concerns, questions, leave us a review. Hit me up at emilio@dlgaming.net if you anything business related or any questions, personal questions or whatever. And are you guys done?
Yep.
All right. Talking for Chad, Bobby, and Emilio. Titties! Titties!